And Samuel died, and the Israelites were gathered together and lamented him, and buried him in his house at Ramah. And David arose and went down to the wilderness of Paran. And there was a man in Mahon, whose possessions were in Carmel, and the man was very great. And he had 3,000 sheep and 1,000 goats. And he was shearing his sheep in Carmel. Now the name of the man was Nabal, and the name of his wife Abigail. And she was a woman of good understanding and of a beautiful countenance. But the man was churlish and evil in his doings, and he was of the house of Caleb. We will read on from verse 23. And here we see Abigail's good character demonstrated in the most remarkable speech that she offered to David. And when Abigail saw David, she hasted and lighted off the ass and fell before David on her face and bowed herself to the ground and fell at his feet and said, "Upon me, my Lord, upon me let this iniquity be, and let thine handmaid, I pray thee, speak in thine audience, and hear the words of thine handmaid. Let not, my Lord, I pray thee, regard this man of Belial, even Nabal, for as his name is, so is he. Nabal is his name, and folly is with him. But I, thine handmaid, saw not the young men of my Lord whom thou didst send. Now therefore, my Lord, as the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, seeing the Lord hath withholden thee from coming to shed blood and from avenging thyself with thine own hand, now let thine enemies and they that seek evil to my Lord be as Nabal. And now this blessing which thine handmaid hath brought unto my Lord, let it even be given unto the young men that follow my Lord. I pray thee, forgive the trespass of thine handmaid, for the Lord will certainly make my Lord a sure house, because my Lord fighteth the battles of the Lord, and evil hath not been found in thee all thy days. Yet a man is risen to pursue thee and to seek thy soul, but the soul of my Lord shall be bound in the bundle of life with the Lord thy God, and the souls of thine enemies, them shall he sling out as out of the middle of a sling. And it shall come to pass, when the Lord shall have done to my Lord according to all the good that he hath spoken concerning thee, and shall have appointed thee ruler over Israel, that this shall be no grief unto thee, nor offense of heart unto my Lord, either that thou hast shed blood causeless, or that my Lord hath avenged himself. But when the Lord shall have dealt well with my Lord, then remember thine handmaid." And David said to Abigail, "Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, which sent thee this day to meet me. And blessed be thy advice, and blessed be thou, which hast kept me this day from coming to shed blood, and from avenging myself with mine own hand." Amen. We know that God will add his own blessing to the reading of his inspired and infallible word. Let us seek the Lord for prayer. Father, as we consider the character of Abigail today, we pray that you would give us wisdom to understand the lessons and the application of them for our lives and for our hearts today. May the words of my mouth and meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Amen and amen. In the book of Proverbs, chapter 25, and the verse 11, we read, "A word fitly spoken is like apples of gold in pictures of silver." And as we have been reading the words of Abigail in 1 Samuel 25, we have been looking at words that were fitly spoken. Words that were so good and so instructive that David, he said to her in the verse 33, "Blessed be thy advice. Abigail was a most remarkable character. In verse 3 of 1 Samuel 25, we are told that she was a woman of good understanding and of a beautiful countenance. And yet she was married to a most difficult individual, and his name was Nabal. Abraham Kuyper, a Dutch Bible scholar, he wrote a little book on the woman of the Bible. And he selected Abigail as one of his examples of women who were deserving of study in the Scriptures. And he said this about the marriage of Nabal and Abigail: "Perhaps the most striking example of a mismated couple is that of Nabal and Abigail. Except for his wealth, he had everything that was unbecoming to and repulsive in a man. On the other hand, she was a woman whose equal is not found in a thousand. She embodied all the qualities a man could desire for his happiness. We are told that she was remarkably intelligent and discreet, and that she was very beautiful besides. And her conduct and activities tell us that she had a most appealing character and unwavering faith." It is this appealing character and unwavering faith we're going to think about today. Herbert Lockyer wrote a more exhaustive book on the woman of the Bible. It's called All the Women of the Bible, and I don't think there is a woman in the Bible who is named even in the most shortest way that Lockyer does not deal with in that book. And he said this about Abigail: "A beautiful woman with a beautiful mind, one of God's masterpieces." Her name has been taken to mean "my father's joy." It's not quite certain, however, that's what her name literally means. Actually, her name literally in the Hebrew language means this: the father of joy. And because her name means the father of joy, some have said, well, actually, that doesn't quite make sense. It must mean "my father's joy." And indeed, it is possible that that is what her father meant when he named her Abigail, for what father does not rejoice in his daughter? But there are those who say, no, no, it actually means the father of joy. And this was a name that was given to her by the household of Nabal. Whenever there were difficulties and problems, and there was somebody to go to, Abigail was the go-to person. It never was Nabal, for you couldn't get sense out of the man. You went to Abigail. And Abigail had something radiant, something that sparkled wherever she went. And she was a figure of consolation and comfort in the household of Nabal. She brought joy to all she knew. She was the father of joy. Now, when you contrast her with Nabal, the name Nabal actually means a fool. That's what it means. Not much of a name. You'd wonder what father would call his son a fool, but perhaps that was the name that his household gave him. Wherever somebody referred to him, they just called him the fool. And it certainly was very characteristic of his nature. And what a contrast we have here between two people. You have Abigail, who brought joy wherever she went, and Nabal, who brought despair. But yet, if it were not for the fact that she was married to Nabal, we would not be talking about her today, because there was something about Nabal's character that caused the beauty of Abigail to shine. God makes no mistakes in all of our circumstances. Let's have a look at this woman. Let's look at her difficulties first of all. She had a difficult marriage. Nabal was not an easy man to live with. He was churlish. He was ill-tempered. He was a drunkard as well. We learn that from 1 Samuel 25. And of course, the question might be asked, why did a woman who was so good and so godly marry such a man? She probably had no choice in the matter. The marriage was probably arranged for her when she was very young, and it was settled between her father and perhaps even the father of Nabal. She had no choice in the matter. And so she suffered living with this man, but it was not her fault. She was put in a situation that was beyond all of her control. Situation she had to live with. And there are many people, and they are placed in situations in life, and they suffer in those situations, and they experience hardship, and it's not their fault. They had no control over it. But through it all, Abigail, she lost more, no grace. She didn't become embittered. It's so easy for us in the midst of these circumstances that Providence puts us in, situations we can't change by ourselves. It's so easy for us to become embittered and angry and warped in our own thinking by those situations. But Abigail, in her heart and her soul, she was not affected badly by what she experienced at the hands of Nabal. In fact, the more cantankerous old Nabal became, the more beautiful Abigail became. That was a product of the Spirit of God working in her life. And I think that's a recurring theme of Abigail's life. She was undoubtedly one who was filled with the Spirit of God, one who was under the control of the Spirit. And if any life is an example of how the Spirit of God and His control can give us real help and direction and guidance and be an anchor to us, regardless of how difficult and extreme our circumstances are, Abigail is that example and encouragement to us all. And so you see, this sermon is not merely for the woman, it's for us all. Because Abigail, as this woman, has lessons for every man, every woman, every young person. And we can all in some way find affinity with her and find help from her life. Let's look at her devotion. Nabal threw in his lot with Saul. It is quite evident that Nabal supported Saul. When David's servants came asking for food for David's men, notice what Nabal said in verse 10. Nabal answered David's servants and said, "Who is David and who is the son of Jesse? There be many servants nowadays that break away every man from his master." As far as Nabal was concerned, David was one that had rebelled against his master. And then Nabal, as a master of servants, was thinking to himself, this fellow David is actually a bad example to all the servants of the country, and therefore I'm going to support the king. He never looked at the underlying issues. He never considered those. As far as he was concerned, David was a rebel and was going to treat him as a rebel. And so he literally chased the servants of David. So Nabal decided to throw in his lot with Saul. But Abigail, on the other hand, we might say this was a politically divided marriage, because Abigail threw in her lot with David. She was a supporter of David. And whenever you look at what Abigail said to David in verse 29, notice what she said. These words essentially are a statement of faith. Yet a man is risen to pursue thee and to seek thy soul. That's Saul. But the soul of my Lord shall be bound in the bundle of life, the Lord thy God. Your soul, David, is going to be bound in the bundle of life with God. God's going to protect you and look after you. What remarkable words this woman brought to David. She believed that he would be the ruler of Israel. Look at verse 30. And it shall come to pass when the Lord shall have done to my Lord according to all the good that he hath spoken concerning thee, and shall have appointed thee ruler over Israel. She believed in David and his future. And she believed the future of Israel was bound up with David. Of course, as I think of Abigail and her devotion to David, I am reminded of the devotion that we need to Christ. She accepted that David was the true king. And we must accept that Christ is our king. And as we face life with the struggles and challenges that come our way, and we do meet them, and they're lurking around every corner, and we don't know what tomorrow morning will bring for anyone, let us remember above all things that Jesus Christ reigns, and he is Lord of all. That was a real stabilizing factor in Abigail's thinking. But let's also think of her discernment. She was a woman of great and incredible foresight. She could foresee impending disaster. You see, David, after Samuel's death, had gone to this region near Mount Carmel, where Nabal lived. He was looking to get away from Saul and from his soldiers. Notice this happened after Samuel died, 1 Samuel 25, verse 1. Perhaps David was fearful that with the death of Samuel, all restraints upon Saul would be loosed, and suddenly Saul would come after him with an even greater rage. And so David went to the wilderness of Paran, to this new locality where he hadn't been before, where Nabal. He was a very wealthy man. He was very great, we are told in verse 2. He had 3,000 sheep and 1,000 goats. He was shearing his sheep in Carmel. But whenever David's men were in Carmel, they looked after Nabal's sheep. Because we are told that Nabal's servants, they went to Abigail and they said concerning David's soldiers, in verse 15, the men were very good to us. We were not hurt, neither missed we anything. As long as we were conversant with them when we were in the fields, they were a wall unto us both by night and day, all the while we were with them keeping the sheep. So David's men actually looked after Nabal's servants as they were keeping the sheep, and they helped them watch the sheep, and they helped them watch out for predators and for sheep stealers as well. And this made the crime of Nabal all the more evil. Because whenever David sent his servants looking some food from Nabal, looking some support and sustenance from Nabal, Nabal never for one moment considered that David's soldiers had been good to his servants. And instead, he chased them in the verse 11. Shall I then take my bread and my water and my flesh that I have killed for my shears and give it unto men whom I know not whence they be? And so he dispatched David's messengers. Now, whenever Nabal's servants realized this was what was happening, what did they do? They went to Abigail. Do you see? When there was a problem, they always went to Abigail. They knew she would have the answer. And they knew that they were bringing disaster upon themselves. And so Abigail, she discerned that there was trouble coming, and she knew what to do. Now, we need discernment. And again, only the Spirit of God can give us that. Give us that discernment to look ahead, to foresee problems, to foresee difficulties, to foresee consequences. In this place, she was actually foreseeing the consequences that her husband's actions would bring upon the whole household. But God's Spirit gave her that help. In Proverbs 31:10-12, we are told, "Who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. The heart of her husband doth safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil. She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life." She was going to do Nabal some good here, even though he little deserved it. Let's also move on and think about her determination. As soon as she heard what Nabal had done to the servants of David, look at verse 18. "Then Abigail made haste, and in her haste she made 200 loaves, 200 bottles of wine, 5 sheep ready dressed, 5 measures of parched corn, 100 clusters of raisins, 200 cakes of figs, laid them in asses." That's quite a bit of hospitality she got ready. Oh, a quick moment of time. Killing those sheep, getting them ready, getting the wine ready, getting those loaves baked, getting the raisins and the figs, getting them all ready, and loading up the donkeys ready to go to David. She acted with haste. It was hard work. It was hard work, but it was a work that had to be done. She knew exactly what to do. We are told concerning Nabal in verse 17. Again, we must constantly look at this contrast. The servants said of Nabal to Abigail, "He is such a son of Belial that a man cannot speak to him. He's of such a worthless character." That's what the word "son of Belial" means. "He's such a worthless character. No one can talk to him. He won't listen to anyone." But Abigail, she was a listener. She was a listener. She listened to what the servants said. She knew what to do. We need to be listeners. We need to take time to listen to others. Take time to listen to the advice of others, the warnings of others. And then let's think about her discretion. We see her discretion, first of all, in the fact that she didn't tell her husband Nabal in verse 19. She said unto her servants, "Go on before me. Behold, I come after you." But she didn't tell her husband Nabal. Now, that doesn't mean that the Bible is sanctioning husbands and wives keeping secrets from each other. That's not what the Bible is teaching us. And we're not to do that. But in this case, Nabal was bringing sure and certain death upon the family. And there was no point in talking to the man. It was a condemnation upon Nabal that his wife couldn't speak to him. Condemnation upon him. And she had to be discreet for the sake of the lives of the family. But then we also see her discretion, the way she came to David. Now, David really had gotten out of line here. As soon as the servants come back and said, "That fellow Nabal chased us, he won't give us any food," David, he gets the sword ready and calls upon his men to get their swords, and he's just going to go in for slaughter. He's going to go for carnage. He's going to bring about a terrible vengeance upon Nabal. It was very un-David-like. It wasn't like him to behave like this. But he was under serious pressure, and sometimes people that are under pressure, they behave out of character. David was certainly behaving out of character, and he was going to shed blood. That's what he was out to do. And Abigail, she could see this coming. And she knew that Nabal had so provoked David, that David was going to break. Oh, how we need to be careful about being provoked by others. And David was provoked. And so Abigail set herself this task of stopping David in his tracks. But she knew how to deal with difficult men. She had learned ever so much from her dealings with Nabal. And although David was very different, she knew that where she struggled and often failed to turn Nabal, she could turn David. And she did turn him. And she appealed to him on the basis that he was going to shed innocent blood. Look at verse 26. Now therefore, my Lord, as the Lord liveth and as thy soul liveth, seeing the Lord hath withholden thee from coming to shed blood and from avenging thyself with thine own hand. The very fact you haven't come to shed blood, God has stopped you. Shedding innocent blood. She appealed to David's sense of justice. It worked. Not only that, but she appealed to David to commit Nabal into the hands of the Lord. Look at verse 31. That this shall be no grief unto thee, nor offensive heart unto my Lord, either that thou hast shed blood causeless, or that my Lord hath avenged himself. But when the Lord shall have dealt well with my Lord, then remember thine handmaid. God will deal with Nabal. You commit him into the Lord's hands. Don't you take the blood of Nabal causeless. The Lord will deal well with you. Trust in the Lord. You know, there's a verse over in the book of Proverbs, chapter 18 and the verse 21. It says, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. The power of the tongue. And with Abigail, we see the power of the tongue for good. The power of the tongue in rescuing David. The power of the tongue in saving David. The power of the tongue in encouraging David to look to the Lord. You know, James talked about the tongue being a little member. The tongue can do things that are destructive. You think of Nabal and how destructive his tongue was. You think of Abigail and how healing her tongue was. And again, it is all because she was a woman under the control of the Spirit of God. She reacted so well. She shines here. These two men, Nabal with all of his difficult nature, his sinful, shameful, drunken nature. And then you have David, who really was acting impulsively, getting things wrong. And this woman, she comes with words that changed the whole situation around. David recognized her spirit. He recognized that her spirit saved him from grief and from guilt. And of course, the whole sequel of the story is that Abigail came home. She waited until Nabal sobered up, and she said, there were 400 men about to come down upon you to take your life and destroy everything you've worked for. But I stopped them, and God stopped them. And when Nabal heard that, he was smitten with such fear that he lost his mind. Within a few days, he was dead. God dealt with the man who opposed the servant of God. And Abigail was brought into a marriage relationship with David. And we really don't know very much about Abigail from this time forward. But we know this, that with all of the ups and downs of life, and the ups and downs of being married to David, and that wasn't easy for David, went on to be a polygamist and an adulterer, and that must have brought problems for Abigail. But yet we believe this, that she never once lost the excellent spirit that God had put within her heart. And may we pray to God that his spirit will be in our hearts, and that we will never lose out with him, but know how to walk with God. May the Lord bless these thoughts to your heart and soul. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for your word. Write it upon every heart, we pray. Help us to be like Abigail. Help us to manifest your grace, to have the right words, the right reactions, the right responses. Help us not to go down the wrong road, and save us from ourselves. Give us good listening ears and good wholesome words. In the Savior's name, amen. Let us sing this closing hymn as our